If not Miles, who?
That's the question we're asking. Daryl Ryder, Danny Cunningham in for Ken Carmen and Anthony Lama. The boys will be back with you next week. Training camp officially. Well, it's been underway. The rookies reported last week. Veterans reported yesterday. But today is the first full squad workout around 4 o'clock this afternoon. I'll be out there. We'll hear first from some players earlier in the day, in the noon hour. We'll start hearing from a couple of guys. So we'll have coverage of that for you. Fans are invited out to Berea Friday, 2 p.m. practice. That is the first one of eight that will be open to the public. 216-474-0092. That was defensive coordinator Jim Schwartz talking about Myles Garrett, Danny, and the expectations that come with the big contract. We're talking about leadership this morning. Who's going to take the mantle of leadership in that locker room for this team? That's not really in Myles' wheelhouse. That's not really his personality. He is just go out and beat up quarterbacks guy. Maybe not the rah-rah guy, but somebody has to do that for this team, and you can't just be the rah-rah guy without producing. We saw that last year with Jameis Winston.
Right.
You had mentioned the comedic value that came with some of those pregame speeches. I found it laughable that he's doing the pregame huddle chants or whatever you want to call them.
The pep talk.
The pep talk before they go on the field. And Deshaun Watson, who's the starting quarterback at the time, is just standing around taking it all in. And I don't know how that dynamic works. And I'm not saying that Miles
needs... Well, it doesn't. That's the thing. It does not work.
Yeah.
Like, it's funny, but it does not work. You do, I think, to some extent, need your best players to be your leaders. And that is, I think, one of the biggest drawback with Miles is that he's just not.
And if it's not going to be him, right? Because when you look at this team right now, I don't know that, you know, I think Denzel Ward, again, is a leader by the way he plays, similar to Miles. But when I'm looking at this team on both sides of the ball, Danny, I couldn't... David Njoku? Is he... is it going to be Joel Bitonio? Because
probably.
He's a 12, 13-year vet?
Within that room, I would bet that he is. I would bet that Joel is a very vocal leader.
I can predict the captains right now.
Inside the offensive line room.
But who's the guy that's going to make sure that, for lack of a better phrase, guys come correct every day? The guys are ready to work every day. Kevin Stefanski has talked about this offseason, and I think it's a fair point about the need to toughen this team up. Because that 17-game gauntlet, it really is a war of attrition, not just from health, but from a mental standpoint, obviously the physical toll it takes on you, and from a win-loss standpoint. And so who's going to be the guy that's going to carry them to the finish line? Who when things do go poorly, and look, there at some point this season, things are going to go poorly.
At a lot of points this season, it will.
Well, potentially.
Most points, in fact.
Who's going to be that guy to pick up that mantle? Who do you think it can be? Who do you think it could be? 216-474-0092. Let's head out to Eastlake. Peter, good morning. You're next up on the Fan. How you doing, bud?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Doing all right.
Sam, Miles isn't a rah-rah leadership guy. I mean, he's a soft-spoken. He does poetry. I mean, Miles is he's not a do-as-I-say-not-what-I-do guy. He's a do-what-I-do guy. He's I'm putting in the work, you know, and he's one of those guys that sits back, and then when he steps up to talk, it's going down, so everyone should be quiet. That's the type of leader, at least I see Miles as, and I think the proof is in the pudding because they had a rah-rah leadership guy in Baker Mayfield, and didn't that rub Miles the wrong way? Wasn't that abrasive? Well, I feel like it's kind of hitting everyone in the face. Miles isn't a rah-rah guy. And I think this is why losing JOK was a twofold problem, because JOK was turning into a wonderful linebacker, but also a huge leadership piece in the middle of the defense. And he was one of those guys that I thought was going to step up and take the mantle as captain and leader of the defense in terms of speaking up. And I just don't think Miles is the kind of guy that does that.
All right. Thanks so much, Peter, for the call. Yeah, I just, if it's not going to be him, like, and we talked about earlier, Danny, like, you know, about this and how maybe it's unfair for me to put it on Miles because of the contract. But the reason I'm doing that is because I do look at the team and I'm like, well, someone's got to do it. And this is a guy that, you know, expressed his frustrations. And look, I'm not criticizing Miles for doing that because I think Miles spoke for all Browns fans. I really sincerely believe that. When he's like, the reason I want to leave is because we can't win. I'm tired of losing. I'm tired of being in the conversation for defensive player of the year and racking up all these sacks when I'm not doing any, you know, when the team's not doing anything to perform alongside me, right? And that was real, legitimate criticism levied by Miles. But now it's like, okay, what are you going to do now that you're bought back in multiple ways for $40 million a year? Now that you're bought back in, what can you do to help turn that around? What are you going to do to make it better?
I do think that some leadership from him would be nice. I just don't. I also think that inauthentic leadership is worse than fake leadership, or inauthentic leadership is worse than not actually being a leader. I think trying too hard is something that you see in this locker room, in any professional locker room. Guys see through that. And is it Miles' fault that he's not a leader? No. That's just not how he's wired. And you can't ask him to be wired in a way that he's not actually.
Who do they turn to then? I don't have a good answer.
And that is a big problem with this roster, is that they don't have that.
He has a chance to be a leader in the sense that's not the loud guy, as long as he's the guy that's holding everyone accountable. And also producing. He's got to produce.
I'm not worried about
that. He's paid to be productive, right? So he's got to do that, right? And then he's got to hold others accountable when they are lacking. And you can do that without being the cheerleader, right? That's
right. Baker. No, again, I'm not saying they need a cheerleader.
Right.
Like, that's not what I'm saying. Jameis Winston last year was a cheerleader.
Right.
Right? And it worked for, like, the first two games that he started. Then he started throwing footballs and touchdown passes to the other team, and then that just didn't matter, right? Who, and this is what I'm struggling with, right? Somebody is going to have to be that guy in the locker room. And sometimes being that guy means you got to be the bad guy.
That's where I say
you're not friends
holding
with
people accountable. And even if it's, holding the offense accountable, if they're underperforming, or holding a specific, you know, unit of the offense accountable. If it's we all are, you know, saying that they're going back to the Stefanski offense of 2020, in which they ran the ball,
ground and pound,
to set up anything else, but the run was the feature, right? So if we're at a point week 4, 5, 6 where they're not getting it done, and it's because the interior of the offensive line, you know, is old and aged, there's a way to still be respectful while still holding a Joel Bitonio and holding those guys accountable on the interior of the offensive line, and making sure that everyone in the city who is paying attention to this at all times knows that the effort is being put in. We're just not seeing the results right now.
Do you think at this point, Myles Garrett's career, he can grow into that vocal leader type of guy? Do you think that is a legitimate thing that can happen?
I don't think so. And again, this isn't a shot. It's just not who he is at his core. Like, I am a believer in you stick to strengths. You ask your people to do what they do well, and you accept the things that they don't do well or that they're not comfortable with. And I just never viewed Miles as a guy that is going to police a locker room.
Yeah.
I've never viewed him. And again, I'm not criticizing him, but that's what they need. They need somebody that's going to police that locker room, because of the concerns, questions that need answered in the train. That's one of them. Leadership. Another thing is the offensive line deep enough. Okay. So we feel good about the starters up front, but odds are they're not getting through 17 games healthy. In recent years, they've not gotten through 17 games healthy. We know the injury history of Jack Conklin. We know the injury history of DeJuan Jones, and let's give DeJuan his flowers this morning. He's done a lot of work this offseason to reshape his body and you know, try and put himself in a position where he can be healthy. But is that deep enough? The fact that Quinshon Judkins is dealing with his legal issue may or may not be available to this football team at some point early in the season here. Like, do they need another running back? Because this is supposed to now be a staple of this offense. We're jumping in our DeLoreans going back to 2020, 2021, where you're trying to do the Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, recreate that whole bit, get the ball out of the quarterback's hands, three Mississippi fire, you know, quick slants, quick outs, checkdowns. That's that quick, tempoed, paced, efficient offense while running the football and just, you know, grinding your opponents to a bloody pulp. Like, I don't know if they can do that right now. So the running back, in my view, the depth of that particular position, I think is a bit of a question. Obviously, you know, Dylan Sampson, they drafted him in the fourth round out of Tennessee. You got Pierre Strong, you got Jerome Ford, but I don't know that that's enough without Judkins in the fold. And then you look on the defensive side of the ball, and I know we've been talking a lot about Miles this morning, Danny, but like, you know, I think the secondary is deep enough, but linebacker. Now, admittingly, and Jim Schwartz will tell you this, he has told us this on multiple occasions, linebacker's not, it's not the centerpiece of this off or this defense, I should say, but it's still an important piece.